Hello and welcome to the Tech Flush. Man, listen, I am excited as always that you decided to click that play button in Spotify, Google, Amazon, like wherever you're listening and stuff. I'm excited you're here. I'm excited that you're tuning in. For you newbies, you're in for a real treat today. It's not very often you have such famous people in the office. So I'm excited for that. I'm excited to make those introductions here in just a second. And for our old season people, I think this is going to be an episode. I don't even know what we're going to talk about yet. But it's going to be something you're going to have to listen to on repeat. I think it's going to be incredible. Now, listen, so let's just go ahead and dive in. I'm excited. We got episode number 76 coming at you. So listen, let's go ahead and make introductions. We've got the world famous Casey Chambers in the house. How's it going, Casey?
Hi, I'm so good. Like, lucky number 76. I'm stoked to be here.
I'm excited. I think, you know, I told you earlier on the show, like, it was a kind of a one-man show. And then I've just kind of had more confidence to call people, see if they want to come on the show. And you were a big highlight to be on here. I know I've been a big School AI user for a long time, big kind of fanboy, I guess, if you want to say that. So I'm excited to do that. And especially, you know, even speaking of those things, this sounds super cheesy, Casey, but I can remember walking around at TCA and I see the School AI booth and I was like, oh, I wonder who's going to be here, who's not. And I saw you, and I think I might've been a little dramatic, which is not character of a guy, but I saw you and was like, oh my gosh, you're Casey. And you were like, yes. And I was like, oh my gosh, you are awesome. So that was really fun for me to meet in real life and do all those things. But listen, go ahead.
So I was just going to say, it's always so surreal. Like, you have been a like early, early OG adopter of School AI. And like, when I first started doing community and stuff, you were all there. So I think when I saw you at TCA, I looked at you, I was like, Josh Morris, like, yes. It's real in real life. So that was so fun.
It was exciting. But listen, before we get really into our conversation and start diving in, kind of tell people who you are, what you do, and just really how you fit into this educational space.
Oh, this educational space. It's been a huge journey for me. So I was a fifth grade teacher for a very long time. And I always like to joke that because I was the youngest and freshest out of college, my principal was like, hey, you know how to use iPads, right? And I was like, sure. And that's what started my technology journey, is I got put in charge of the iPad cart. Then, you know, taught and learned and got pretty okay at it. And then the pandemic hit, and that was a huge turning point for, I think, a lot of people. And I self-taught a lot of things like Canvas and all of those things. And then I had to teach online for a full year, and that was super transformative for me. And then I became an instructional coach at the virtual school that we opened in my district. We learned that a lot of students, the pandemic aside, needed access to virtual school for them, and it was a really great choice for them. And so that was so fun, and that kind of started opening up my mind to how technology can help in more ways than just in one classroom. So I was an instructional coach there, and then I became a digital instructional coach in my district, in Jordan School District. Shout out to the best team ever. And then that's when AI hit the scene. So I was put in charge of the AI situation, and School AI was our choice. And so we implemented School AI into Jordan School District, and that was such a fun journey. And then I decided that was so awesome that I would come to School AI and help districts do that all around the world. And so that's what I do. I started out as a community manager, building up community and doing things like Space Camp and things like that. And now I'm a success manager. So I talk to district leaders and help them implement AI and School AI and help it match their goals. So that's kind of where I'm at now. And I am a huge technology and education nerd, and I could talk about it all day. So I'm so thrilled to be here.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think, you know, we can talk about things and talk about it. But, you know, one thing I think is fascinating, what you said, kind of like when you started, like your principal or whatever is like, hey, here's the iPads, go figure it out. And mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes there's that kind of culture shift in how we teach, and it's either like you're thrown these things at you, or you have this spark of like, hey, are you going to use those iPads today? Are you going to use this? And you like take more ownership of it. And again, you have no idea what you're doing when you first start. And it kind of continues to blossom into great things. And I feel like as teachers or educators or wherever we work at, a lot of times it's that way. Like you have that spark and you just dive in and you take that ownership of it. And then from there, you just never know what it's going to like come to.
It's so true. I think that there's a huge benefit to being a new teacher is so hard. Like in so many ways, you're just kind of day by day and you're like, what is this new thing? Like everything is so, no, there is no amount of preparation that can prepare you for the reality of a classroom. But on the other hand, anything, any new tech, like technology specifically, or any new strategy or any new idea, I was so open to it because I was so eager to learn and get better. And so I think that those first years of teaching can be so magical and fun and transformative because you're so open to learning. And if you can keep that throughout your whole career, I think that's the key to teaching for a long time and staying excited. But yeah, that's, I think technology did get thrust upon me, but it probably would have been something that I was excited to use because the kids loved it. The kids loved it. And that was like, okay, I need to dive in more on that.
Yeah, because it really helps us not be stagnant with things. So I feel like, you know, we've always been in that season of like, oh gosh, well, here's the same unit, the same plans, the same activities, like whatever that may look like. But mm-hmm. when you have new things that you get excited about, whether it's AI, whether it's a new lesson, whether it's new something, I think that continues to have those like those quick teacher wins for you and just continue to develop and continue to do all the things. I think it's just incredible.
Yeah, my mentor teacher at Butterfield Canyon Elementary, Deborah Jarosak, she was a teacher for 30 years. And she is so funny. She was my mentor, but she always would come over to my classroom and be like, no, you're mentoring me because you're showing me all these technology things. And I would watch her. I would show her this cool new thing. Like one year, my little obsession was QR codes. I was like, QR codes, this is the thing. Like, this is what I, and I did QR code stations and you know, the thing. And she was like, that is so cool. I'm going to do it. And so she changed and added and all of these things. And to this day, I think that was the best mentoring I ever got because she showed me how to just be flexible. And I think with ed tech specifically, you need to just be able to go open, listen and be like, that's way better than what I did last year. And use it. And so, yeah, shout out to Debbie Jarosak. She was so good at teaching me to just, even in your 30 plus years, to just try something new. And even if it's scary.
Yeah, I think so many teachers, especially when we think about this world of AI, that there are so many like scary parts of it. There's scary things that like, oh my gosh, it can do this or it can do that. Or like, we're going to hit spaces in a little bit. And it's like, that's a little bit of a terrifying thing to think about because, you know, you're setting up this like custom ChatGPT, what I tell teachers. And it's like, it's going to talk to you. You're designing it to do what you want it to do. And to a point, people are like, no, but it's like, you've got to jump on that train because, you know, again, like we're in this season. If you don't at least dabble in it and know about it, I think you're going to get more stagnant. You're going to miss something. I don't know really what I'm trying to say, but your teachers are essentially going to get behind. It's not like a new strategy that's come out in a book. Like this is everywhere, whether I use it in my personal life, use it in this classroom. Heard this, what was it? Matt Miller and Harley Clark had a podcast. They talked about our kids are using these tools and we as teachers need to get on board and start playing with them, start using them. Because if not, our kids are going to be way more advanced than we are. And we should be the experts in a lot of things.
I agree. One of my friends, Kira Bettis, she wrote an op-ed about literacy, and she talked about how we all agree that we need to help our students with their literacy. We need to help them learn how to read and be their math literacy, their math facts or numeracy, I guess. And she said AI and technology is a part of that literacy. Like we like that is how they are going to be. Reading is just learning how to ingest information And AI is going to be a piece of how we ingest information. And so it has to be a part of how we teach and what we teach. And I think you're so right. There's something really unique about, I mean, I know we're 3 years in now, but as with any education thing, it takes time. But I think it's, we've seen, you know, different ed tech tools come on the scene, and that's the new thing, like Nearpod and Flipgrid and Canvas and all these big things that were really great to adopt, but nothing has been like this since like the internet, you know what I mean? And so there's this big, like, we need to accept the reality of this, and then we need to be talking about how to implement it in the right way, and teaching our kids how to use it. It's so important.
Yeah, because even goes back to, like, you know, we've got some in our district, we've got some ladies that work at the elementary level, middle school and high school level for ELA and literacy and all those things. And I've had some good conversations with them about, you know, we've been taught to, like, our foundation of skills, right? It's like our students early on are learning the foundations for writing, reading, math. We're using all these things, but the older we get, now we're able to take other ideas, other content, AI, technology, whatever, and infuse that within our knowledge base to continue to grow. And, you know, even you talked about that, you know, we're only 3 years in, but I feel like every day that I really dive in and look at the tools that are out there, whether it's a program or whether it's just straight AI, generative AI, and using that, man, there's so many gains, so many things that are happening that, like, I never even thought it would be possible. Mm-hmm. You know, I recently was working with a principal, and this principal wanted this morning announcements, but he wanted it on a Google form. He wanted to be able to see certain things. And I was like, all right, I think I know what you want to do, but let's go to AI and let's chat with it. So, like, we're using Google Forms. So I went to Gemini. We're talking about how to create this form. So on the Google Sheet, it'll only pull up the highlights we need for that announcements in the morning that he does. And it wrote the code for me. I put it in the sheet, and it populates only what we need to see per day. And it's like, he's like, isn't this scary to you? Doesn't it, like, this is going to take our jobs away? I was like, no, like, this would have taken me 3 hours or more to figure this out. But yeah, because of this tool, now I can do it a lot faster. Like, I knew the idea of what I want to do. I had that foundation of it. But now, because of this tool, it's allowed me to create something awesome. And I feel like that's just what we've got to continue to do as educators. We've got to continue to dive in and really figure out what we want to get out of it and what we want for our students.
I think you really hit something, like I mentioned with Debbie Jarosak, like, something with there's something about our brains that it's really hard for us to accept that we can do things in a better way, because we work so hard as teachers to do things in such an effective way. And I will go, like, to the ends of the earth talking about how teachers are the most skilled, smart, practiced professionals out there. Like, the amount of PD and training and all of these things that teachers go through. But there is still, and it's probably just a human thing, but there's this inherent, like, I don't want to accept that there's a better way. And it's hard to do that. It's hard. And especially if the way I was doing it was actually really good and it was working really well. It's hard to accept that there is a better way, and to kind of shift and think of more possibilities. And so it's a system-wide thing. And you're right. I think it's like, Debbie didn't sit there in my classroom that day talking about QR codes saying, oh no, it's going to make me a worse like, they're not going to need me anymore. She looked at those QR codes and said, no, that's awesome. That's going to help me be better. And that's, I think, what all of us need to be doing, is how can AI take these things and then help us make, we talk about wanting to change education and change the education all the time. How can we have AI offload something so we can actually do that? So,
I think it's just the possibilities are going to be endless. And speaking of possibilities, let me ask you this question, or not really a question, kind of a statement, I guess. So when we think about school AI and we think about platforms that maybe do the same thing, right? One of my favorite things about school AI and just the way it's set up, again, like I can go create a lesson plan, right? I think there's lots of talk with AI. Hey, it'll create your lesson plan. You don't really have to plan it. You can do it. But I feel like sometimes when we go places and we create those lesson plans, now I've got to either reprompt it, right? Because we talk about reprompting, or I have to go in there and print it out, scratch it out. I kind of have to work through this system of making it my own. One of the things that I love inside of this program is I can go in there and I can create a lesson plan, right? One of my favorite, this is funny that I tell you this, but one of my favorite things to like demo in front of teachers is when I create a lesson plan. And don't ask me why I do this, Casey. I don't know, but I always go towards butterflies. There was like one day that I just was typing and I was like, let's do butterflies. And it's stuck. And now it's kind of a joke in my department, but I continue to do that.
Butterfly teacher.
Yeah. Like I don't know. I've never taught a lesson on butterflies, but I think it seems relevant to a lot of things. Right. But I feel like if I'm going to go in there and I'm going to create a lesson plan on butterflies, I just don't take that and I just print it out and I do it, or I have to edit it somewhere else. I love that inside of that, there's so many other tools inside of that lesson plan creator. And it's the same way through all the tools in there. I can go through and it populates where it feels like a Google document to me. Mm-hmm. I can go in there and I highlight. I can use all the AI tools that I want to summarize, put images, all the great things that I know you'll probably add in. There's something that I'm probably missing. But I can go in there and naturally edit. I can naturally add things. I can naturally do things as if I typed all those words out on my screen. And now I have a well-crafted lesson plan that I can take that's mine, that may have just began with AI, but it's mine at the end and I've created the whole thing. And I think that's just a phenomenal part of keeping, you know, the AI part, but then you're bringing that human element to the platform. I think that's like, anytime I talk about the program, that's like a driving force for me on so many levels of keeping that human part in there.
That is so good to hear. I think you're making me think about our mission statement, which is at School AI, we find out what students need and what the people that support them need, and we make it happen. You're right. It's that human element. And I think also School AI being built by teachers it was student first, always. Student first has always been the School AI thing. And so even when you're making a lesson plan, which is at this point, it's a little like basic. Everyone's like, oh, I've done that. You know what I mean? I've used AI to make a lesson plan. But even then, whatever the first thing that is generated, I'm like, that's killer. That's great. It has differentiation. It has consider A, B, and C. It has used manipulatives. It has all sorts of things. And it's really easy to understand. And so if we're thinking about tasks, is like you start at A with nothing and Z, you're done. I think School AI really takes you to a point where then you can take it and be in the driver's seat and make it exactly what you want, but not a ton of the reprompting mess that I think we get stuck in. So,
and nobody really wants to reprompt. I feel like for me, like if I have to continue to tell it, hey, fix this. All right, put it all together so I can see you do this. And it's too much. Like, you know, AI should really alleviate a lot of things. And just that flow that you guys have is just, that really does a great job with that.
I agree. I think when you're in schools, outside of an education sphere, I don't know. I think reprompting, there's probably more room and space and time for that. But I think when you're in a education setting, you do not have the time capacity, you know, whatever, to reprompt 700 times. And let's go back, look at the first paragraph, da da da. Like, I think, you know, we want something that gets you to a really good spot. A couple of edits, a couple of add-ons, and then we're ready to go, you know?
And I've learned really quickly. So I was always a secondary teacher, and I don't know, you taught fifth grade. I have no idea what your planning looked like in your district. But I know here, our elementary school teachers have 30 minutes, maybe an hour, maybe a day. Okay. Usually it's like 30 minutes. And inside that 30 minutes, it's walking our kids to our related arts or specials or gyms or whatever you want to call it. Then you've got lunch and there's all these other things that happen. And so like, I know like as an elementary school teacher, man, if I have to reprompt and I'm wasting time, like I've got other things to do inside my 20 minute now window after I've got walked my kids. Now I got to go to pick them up. And then, you know, you got the secondary teachers. They do have a little more time, but at the same time, you have so many things to do that you want to take off that weight. You want to take off some things. And, you know, we're trying to still figure things out again, so early on, even though 3 years sounds like a long time, it still is early on in what it's looking like.
Yeah, I still, you know, there's that tech adopter flow. You know what I mean? I still feel like we're really pushing to get more and more teachers to be, you know, to just try it one time. Just try it. It'll be really easy. But I think you also, it reminded me, I think we're also kind of like the lesson plan situation. I think when someone makes a lesson plan the first time, they're like, okay, cool. But all of us kind of already have our lesson plans in our heads. And I mean, I know a lot of secondary teachers have to make like new courses and that's a lot. But for me, I think the next level is like what are creating like activities. And I think that's where space is. I watch teachers get on School AI, make a lesson plan, make a worksheet, make a whatever. And they're like, huh, this is really cool. They go on to an assistant and chat back and forth for a little bit. They're like, okay, wait a second. This is really powerful. Like I just had a PLC conversation in 2 minutes with my data. Okay. The next step is, okay, if this can help me with my work so clearly and quickly, I wonder how it can help students with their learning so quickly and so clearly. And I think that's where spaces really comes in, is like, okay, now I'm ready for my kids to try this. It is scary, but I think getting your kids to get on there and learn is a huge next step.
Yeah, I think it's a great little transition, because like when I think about like, you know, you talked about tools, but then we start talking about spaces. I feel like you've almost got this idea of a seasoned teacher versus like your newbie teacher. Like your newbie teachers, like your first couple of years, like you're still, you know how to write a lesson plan, you know how to do things. And maybe some of these tools need to support you more versus a teacher that's been there for 10 or 15, 20 plus years. Because again, you're using a lot of the same lesson plans. Maybe you're revamping them. You're asking AI to look at it, to change your activities, to look at differentiation, because you've got a different set of kids that happen every year. And so then when you really think about these spaces, now it's more of, to me, it's more of that student-centered learning. And even adult-centered learning. I mean, I've created some things for our district to help us with certain programs that we run. So like if a teacher has a question, hey, I don't have time to talk to somebody. If an email is going to be too long, like now we can go and chat with this space and get answers way quicker than I could elsewhere. So I think it's like, it's really two parts in thinking more of like that business side of what we do, but then also keeping it student focused as well. And just, I can remember not really knowing about these spaces. And I joined that first summer camp. And I remember getting on that call with y'all. And the one thing that really struck me was like these secret little codes, right? So I can create a lesson plan, or not even a lesson plan. I'm still stuck on that idea. We got to move off that. But like I can create this space to do whatever, like be as creative as we want, be in depth, you know, breakout rooms, all these exciting things. But when I think about my time as a special education teacher, you know, we always want to change the level. We always want to differentiate for certain kids. And I can remember you gave this trick. You were like, all right, listen, if you've got kids that read below grade level, put in your prompt where it's a one. Okay. And then if they do, they need this, put a two, or make the kids say certain things to trick the bot or to switch the bot into do something else. And I can remember it was fifth grade. We're doing an animal project. So they're researching animals, but they're doing it in space, and it's already designed to do some certain things. Right. And I knew I had some kids that struggled to read on grade level. And I was like, hey, listen, I'm going to put y'all in groups. And I need y'all over here to type in one so I know you're in group one. You over here do group two. And they had no idea. And I designed the space where it wouldn't tell them what's happening. They were just like, one, all right, perfect. Let's keep on rocking and rolling. And it really changed that student-centered. And they had no idea what was going on. And I feel like there's so many things like that within these spaces that keep it student-centered, that keep that learning rolling, that have just really stuck with me, you know, 2-3 years ago when you first were doing the head of community and doing all these things. It's just really incredible what it can do.
There's so many points that you're hitting. Like I think the first thing that we're really mentioning is like moving using AI from like a checklist, like using AI to like complete my to-do list is great, but there's so much more we can do with it. And taking it to the next level of how can we use AI to move us forward. Second point you brought up, using school AI spaces for professional development and adults is literally the best thing ever. I am designing a program right now for a school. The administrator wants me to make a parent university to help parents learn how to read with their kids. And you might think like, no, every parent can read with their kid. But he was like, I wanted to be more than that because we're teachers. We know how to ask questions and we know how to be like, what do you think is coming up next? And we know how to help them decode a word and what books, you know, are the right level. But he was like, make spaces for parents. And so there's so many, like adult learning is so powerful. And yeah, I think the best thing about spaces is that student, individual, personalized learning. Like those codes, that is like one of my, that's one of my favorite. Like you type in the word cactus and it will increase the reading level and they'll never know. I always thought that was so fun. It reminds me like us teachers were kind of like, you know, grand puppeteers. You know what I mean? Like we are coordinating. So we're coordinating at any given time, 30 to 40 brains to learn. And when there's just me and paper, pencil, and the kids, we can still do a great job. However, if you could deploy a few school AI spaces to help this group of kids and this group while you're over here with this group, and then just like the power of how much more can get learned. Is that a good way? How much more can be learned in any given moment, you know? And even in that small group of five kids that typed in number one, one kid can get all of that in Spanish. And one kid can ask, hey, I don't know what that means. And so that personalized learning is just the next level. That is the next level of how it can be so, and it's not taking away my job. It's giving me more information to help them faster. And that's the whole goal, right?
Yeah. And I think even like when you think about these spaces, like you talked about, the goal is not to take away my job. I feel like, it's more of like, almost like a station, right? We're doing station teaching. Yeah. The kids coming to me and they've already read a book in the past station. And so here we're going back through the book. We're asking questions. We're helping them develop their ideas or writing or whatever we want it to do. And the space is almost, I feel like, the same kind of idea, right? So we have maybe pre-taught something, or maybe it's they're learning it, they're being pre-taught through here. But at some point, they're going to see me as the teacher and we're going to talk about what they've learned. We're going to adjust the learning. We're going to make sure they're getting their accommodations. We're going to check on all the things that we do as a teacher. This is just a great segue or a great, I guess, I don't know what the right word to say, but it's a right path to help them continue to develop things. Mm-hmm. And it is scary. I think it is kind of an odd thought, but really classrooms in 10 years, 5 years, who knows, could be very well set up this way. Once you have the foundation of certain things, yeah. Now this is just going to be a great avenue for lots of things.
Well, I think the best teachers learn that when when the classroom culture shifts from I am in charge of all of your learning and you must learn from me and I am the one that you need, into a we are learning together and this is a classroom community where we are all together learning, and you, student, you are learning and I'm here to help you, and all of these other tools are here to help you. I think decentering the teacher is really important, and not to say that you're a villain if you're the, you know, whatever. I'm just saying, like, the most effective classrooms are collaborative learning spaces where the student is at the center of their own learning. And I think that makes it, again, that's 35 little worlds happening. And what tools do we have to make that happen? And I think an AI space is the perfect thing. And I'm not saying do that 24/7. I want to put that little disclaimer out here. Like, ed tech people are the first people to tell you, do not keep your kids on screens all day long. But if I can use them in very strategic places throughout my day, I can do an AI check-in. I can quickly look at the dashboard and see who needs to come to my table. I can do a quick check-in and see who needs to go to that station and who needs to go here. It can help me with my direct instruction and what are all my kids missing, so I can do a quick lesson on that. On and on. There's tons of examples, but that I wanted to this last bit of my soapbox really is that one of my first times using a school AI space in a third grade classroom, I did this like pirate something, you know, I'm an elementary school teacher. So it was like a pirate adventure with commas or something like that. And I showed them how to use it. I did the modeling. I did the whatever. I said, the chatbot, the AI space is going to say, you know, welcome to your pirate adventure. Are you ready to go? And then you type in and da-da, and they're all, yay, they're ready to go. And I said, okay, go. And this little girl, she was like, hey, I don't know what to do. And I was like, okay, what's happening? She goes, it asks if I was ready to go. And I was like, well, are you ready to go? And she was like, well, yeah. And I was like, okay, well, tell it. And it was just this like light bulb moment for me where I'm like, they are so used to just fill in the blank, you know, learning, where when this, like the ownership came on them to be like, are you ready? Do you understand? They were like, what? And so turning it into this really great student-centered, conversational, higher level thinking classroom was so fun to watch.
Yeah, it really makes me think about like being STEM or STEAM, however you want to think about that. And you're doing these projects based off a story you're reading, based off something in your community. And these kids are really communicating with each other. And they're going through this same kind of process of like, well, this wasn't, I did this, but it didn't really work out this way. So they're being more responsible for their own learning without tech, right? Which is awesome. And that's, you know, really the goal. We want them to not rely on this technology to transform their thinking and the way they create and the way they communicate.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like something like a space can kind of help us understand certain things, whether we're going through a pirate thing or we're getting ready to walk through this. I think it kind of almost looks both ways in how things are working. I don't know. It's kind of a weird thought. Like as you talked about that, I instantly went into this STEM idea of more hands-on, you know, doing your engineer design process and you're going through this loop, but how a space kind of really translates to that, whether you're, I guess, I don't know. I feel like I'm rambling now, but like doing a check-in or check-out or a project or something inside of that. I don't know. I've got this is a weird little thought. I love how like when we talk to people and we hit that record button or just talking in general, you have these ideas that kind of spark. And that's kind of idea that's kind of hit me and how those two kind of maybe go together somehow.
I think you're talking like that's really great, like STEM and AI and, you know, school AI spaces and robotics and podcasting and all of these things. Like, it's not while it is like AI is a new technology, and then I would have no idea how to implement drones into my class, but I would figure it out. All of those things take I think the vein we're talking about is it takes it to that next level of students being creators instead of consumers, being taking things into a really tactile. And it sounds funny to be saying that, like, talking to an AI space is taking something into a more hands-on way, but it is like if we understood a world where every kid is going on their own, like every answer a kid gives, it's going on that kid's learning journey. And kids need to be having these experiences. And that's why I think, I mean, hot take, I'm stressing over here about, like, as a parent, I'm stressing over this discourse of this, like, technology fear and, like, defunding technology all around the country and in the United States and all of these things and the discourse of, like, my kids are dumber than me and the technology is making them dumb. And I'm like, listen, our kids are learning differently and they have to because the world is different. And so, you know, it's really disheartening to see that we're not leaning in and supporting teachers and building up our education system to grow with the world. Instead, we are in some places shutting it off and cutting it off and not preparing our kids to be literate in this, you know, in this new world with these new technologies. So
yeah, it's almost like I think about maybe, I mean, you go back in the day to where they had these one room schoolhouses and you're one teacher teaching, I don't know, all the grades, right? Or maybe, I don't know, they probably didn't go to school that, I mean, probably eighth grade, high school, at some point you were out working the fields or doing something back in that time, right? Mm-hmm. I wonder if there was that pushback of, you know, how the development of a one-room schoolhouse. So now we're going to separate, and I need a teacher for first grade, a teacher for second grade, I need a teacher for high school. You know, it makes you think about, like, was there pushback for that? And even though there wasn't any technology, what kind of pushback was there? But at some point, someone had to say, listen, this is just the way we have to grow because our kids are new. Like, our kids are experiencing new things, and we've got to make sure that we are giving them the opportunities to grow, the opportunities to do things. Because I'm sure, like, when your kids are old and mine are old, like, they're probably going to go someplace and have a chat bot that they can talk to and order stuff and do things. And we're just really hitting the surface of things. We just got to really be ready to try new things.
Yeah. And I hope that my children don't have to go to a school where it's like the crazy, like, we need to just go back to strict paper pencil. I'm like, wait a second. I want my sons to enter the world. And I'm not saying workforce necessarily. I just want them to enter as members of society, being able to know and understand. And I think it's to be able to think using these things. You know what I mean? If we are completely segmenting and saying, like, you cannot learn about this until this time, that would be too jarring. Like, I want my children to have gradual understanding and knowledge so that they are going to be able to think and grow and build using all of the tools available to them. And I think there's no one better to help our kids in partnership with their parents than teachers. Teachers are incredible and ready and willing and able to embed new technologies and new ideas and new ways of thinking into our curriculum. We just need support. And I think like the fears are valid, but it's like, the age old thing, like defunding, taking things away, that's not going to solve anything. What will solve it is providing us with support. And we'll be able to make a plan. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's the whole idea of, like, common sense media and digital citizenship. Like, you know, I know, it's like, as a parent, you're probably going to do the same thing. Like, as your kids get technology, they have, you know, all the social media stuff. Like, we're having those conversations at home and how to use it appropriately. Things that we're not going to do. Things that we're not going to add or whatever. And then I think as teachers too, we do the same things. like the kids in our classroom, we are teaching them content, but we're also continuing to grow them. And hey, when they don't talk appropriate, hey, listen, we're not going to talk that way in class. We're people. We don't talk that way, or we don't act that way. So it's almost like two-sided. My kids are getting parented from me at home, but when they go to school, those teachers are great people and they're also parenting them. And so then when it comes into technology base, like we're doing the same things. Like I'm having maybe more harsher conversations at home of being appropriate. And then you've got the educational side of that technology conversation happening at school. And I think it's really a twofold system when you start thinking about it that way.
Yeah, I think it's the idea of community. Like I know that my son's teachers are not parenting him. However, they're supporting him and they're teaching him and they're a part of his community. And I am so thrilled that he has those people there. And so, I don't know. And I think another really cool thing about my company, the company that I work for, my company, I do love School AI. The company I work for, I'm so lucky to work for, they are really, finding out what they need and making it happen, including the students and the people that support them. And so bringing parents into the loop and bringing admins into the loop and really understanding that, yes, the student is at the center of everything, but how can we surface this information to all of the adults in this student's life to make sure that they're getting everything that they need? And I think that's the power of it, using these technologies for good things like that. How, like, our children are the most important thing in the entire universe. How can we leverage the most powerful technology of our time to help and support them? And I think that's why I feel so like lucky to be where I'm at, because like that there's nothing, cooler than that to do every day. So like bringing parents and admins into the loop is a really important part of it, I think.
Yeah, I think school, I think that just as a whole from the top down, like y'all do such incredible things. You know, even like we talked about before the show, y'all had kids come into your office and you ran lessons and they got to experience the spaces from like people that help either designed it or they know the ins and outs of it, and they're experiencing more of a safe environment. And you can really tell that the company is like very student centered because of things like that, things you see on the internet. And there, I say this too, and I don't mean this to be, I don't know, but like I feel like sometimes there's hype with programs, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like School AI is very true in making sure that, hey, listen, there is hype to all this AI stuff out here, but we continue to produce like a consistent, I guess, product, mm-hmm. right? And consistency is the key. And we're just going to continue to pour into people. We're going to continue to share good things. And everything else takes care of itself. It's not like we have to have a big party for this or do this. Like, and I think that's really what I like about the program. Not just, we've talked about fancy tools or the functions of things. But I really like that part of it that is just like, we are who we are. And we're just going to continue to push that out there instead of you want hype. But like, it doesn't feel to me as an educator like I'm a part of School AI because of the hype. I'm a part of it because it's a great quality product that impacts not just teachers, but really impacts the students and their learning.
That's so good to hear. And I think that, stepping out of like big picture, I think for me, that's always the thing is this tool working for me in my classroom, down to the student? Is this tool helping these kids? And I think when like ed tech companies in general, like keep that in mind, like, is this working for kids? Is this helping the kids? And if it is, and if it's, then keep going, run at that. You know what I mean? I think it's been really interesting to see this other side of it. Like, I feel really lucky to have done the like teacher thing and then the like building tech thing and the coaching thing and the district coaching thing. And now like this company side, I really feel like I'm learning so much and I don't feel like I'm out of the schools at all. I think that's another really cool, like, I am out of the schools, and we were talking about earlier how having the sixth graders in, I was like, I'm so tired. I've lost my teacher muscles. But I don't feel like I'm separated from the community of educators at all, because we're so just, I'm so just bought in and tied into what is happening on the ground all the time. So I feel really lucky there too.
Yeah, just not pushing a product, really that community involvement. I think that's very evident with the things y'all are doing. Now, listen, not to go back to, I think this has been, I think we could talk forever.
We really could. We could keep this going.
And we're going to keep talking. I don't want to cut it off until we're ready to do that. But there's a couple of things I do want to highlight that are coming out with School AI that I think are really phenomenal. And I'll let you take them as you want. So the first thing I know, we've got Dot is coming. Dot is already there. I feel it's still kind of in beta, right, a little bit. And it's just an incredible tool that's coming out, or not out. It's there. We're still working on that. But then you also have the extension. And this extension, listen, there's not a day I don't get on my computer and that extension's not looking at me. And I'll try to click a button and it just pops up and I was like, all right, this means I need to use this and I'll play with it a little bit. So tell us about kind of those two highlight things, that you guys are showcasing. Yeah.
So Dot is on the platform. Dot is a chat assistant for teachers. And, what's really cool about it is that it, takes it from, I think on a lot of platforms, you click a button and you make the thing. And then you click out and you go to another button and you click the thing and you make that. And where Dot comes in is you can ask for something. And then in the exact same chat, you make another thing. So my demo, you said your demo go-to was butterflies. My demo go-to is main idea. And I don't know why. And I change the theme of the main idea lesson every time. So main idea with Minecraft or whatever, make the lesson plan and then the document generator will pop up and make it. And then I'll say, okay, great. Can you make me the slides presentation that goes with that? It will make the slides presentation. I can edit it back and forth. Okay, great. Can you make me the poster that goes along with it, the image that goes along with it? Awesome. Great. Can you please make me a quiz that goes with it? Can you make me a prompt for a space where my kids can practice a Minecraft adventure after I've done all of my direct instruction? And that is all in one chat. And it just is mind blowing. So I really love it. It works really smoothly. It's on our main platform now. You'll see it on the main side. You just click on Dot and it will be there and all of your chats are saved. And so, yeah, you can just kind of have one central conversation for all of the things you need to make.
That because, you know, tools are tools and you can go through, oh, let me click this button for this tool. Let me click this button for that tool. But it's so much easier just to go through there and chat with Dot, have this custom space, right? That now I can just ask it for what I need and it creates it automatically inside of it. I can continue that workflow without having to go out and come back in.
Well, and I can think of teacher workflows a lot. Like when I'm doing training, I think of what is your workflow? Like our teacher brains are going 9 million miles an hour. We know all of the things that we need. So in my silly main idea, Minecraft lesson idea, I'm like, okay, make the lesson plan, make the slides, make the worksheet. I'm going to also upload my quiz data, my pre-quiz data. And can you break my kids into groups so that I can help them? Could you also make me a reading passage that I can send home for homework really quick? And also, okay, but for this one kid, he's a newcomer, and he only speaks French. So could you make it in French? Like all of that in the speed of which I just said that to you. You know what I mean? So all of the things that you know you need, you can just ask for it, but in the context of your kids. And I think that's what's really important. Like you could go to teachers, pay teachers or whatever and buy what you needed or whatever, but it's not connected to you or your kids and what you want and need. And I think that's where, the power of school AI and where Dot is really, really powerful there.
Yeah, because really you're continuing to keep that teacher at the heart because you know your kids, you know what they need, you know the accommodations, you know their struggles, you know their things they do well at. And through that, it just continues to dive in, continues to create some great stuff.
And I mean, and I know I mentioned uploading your data, like uploading your quiz data. I think that's one thing we haven't really hit, but it's so, so important that school AI is fully data safe. So I don't have to worry that I'm talking about a student or I'm talking about my quiz data or my assessment data. Like I'm able to do my job and use AI to do my job and not worry that, you know, an LLM is going to learn from it. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
And I'm glad you said that because I can remember early on, like in our district, talking with my supervisor of technology, we were talking about just different programs and talking about all the data stuff behind it. And I can remember sharing it from school AI and he really dove into it. And he's like, listen, this is awesome. All the data is there. The privacy things are there. So that's just a great, great thing.
I think that's a good segue, though, into the browser extension. The browser extension is absolutely insane. Like, it just takes all of the school AI things that are in the browser and it moves it to whatever tab you're in. So you can, it does writing feedback. So you can do inline comments. You can do summative feedback. You can also see revision history of documents, which is so helpful, I think. Because we all know AI detectors do not work very well, and they are pretty biased towards different students. And so revision history has been so helpful. Teachers love it. So there's like all of the writing feedback pieces. And then, you know, you could be on your district's website with the curriculum and you could say, hey, make me a presentation, a slide presentation using all of this. Done. Make me a space that reviews these things. Done. It'll make you a space. Like it's just wherever you need to be. And again, all data safe. And so you could be hovering over, like I used it on my son's report card the other day. I was like, here's his second grade report card. I don't know about second grade stuff. I said, I hovered over it and I had my browser open and I said, please look over his grades and tell me where he needs extra work. And it gave me a thing. So really, really helpful. And just the next extension, the next level of teachers using it to get to where they need to go faster and to help their students faster.
Yeah. And again, I think the extensions, a lot of those features in there, you think about, oh, it can only do this or there's a button for that. But really, like, who would have thought to upload your kids' grades and say, hey, listen, can you analyze this? Because I want to help them as a parent and see what we can do. Like, nobody really talks about those special little hidden features. And it's not even a hidden feature. It's just we're afraid to ask because we're like, it's probably not going to do it. But if we just do it, it's just the possibilities are continuing to be found out.
Well, and how many kids have you had in your classrooms and in the seats in your classrooms where we didn't do it intentionally, but we're just like, I don't have the tools or the time to really help you or know what to do. Or lots of kids who weren't in crisis or whatever, like just the middle of the road kids who were just doing their thing and doing great. But now with tools like these, I can quickly analyze and figure out what every single kid needs. Or I can, you know, provide a parent with, hey, here's a really quick overview of this. And so, yeah, like just expanding our reach more is, I think, the theme for me.
Yeah, there's no more guessing and trying. Let me try this A, B, C, and D. And then when I get to Z, it finally works. But we can really find Z in a matter of seconds a lot of times.
One thing that I don't think we've really hit to is like with spaces, you have a mission control where you can see what all of your kids are saying. So when you give them the AI environment, you can see what they're saying, but also it surfaces learning insights. Like if they're doing well, if they're struggling, if they said something really cool, if they have an interest that, you know, whatever, if they're mastering the outcomes, it gives you a red, yellow, green, blue, if they're mastering. And so not just giving them a fun thing to do, but what they're learning. And then with the browser extension, you can analyze all of that. So it's just like all of the the web of decisions that a teacher makes every day, you can add to that. You can make it quicker and just get to where you need to be. And also for me too, I'm going to plug this. Teachers on average work like 50 hours a week, which is insane. And we need, that's a societal change that we need to have. And so even if you're like all of these things, like all of these innovative ideas and giving your kids personalized learning environments and all of this stuff like that, all that's really cool. But if at the end of the day, I can say a teacher went onto School AI and analyzed their quiz data and turned it into their principal on Friday, and that got them home a little earlier, that to me is a huge win. And that makes you a better teacher on Monday because you were able to go home. And so I think that is the other thing. Like, you just start using it to take care of yourself a little bit better, and then you'll start being able to see the power of using it with your kids a little bit more too.
Yeah. And even like when you talk about taking back that time, recently I was working with a middle school and they're getting ready for their writing practice for state testing. And the teachers want to be able to give the kids quick feedback without having to read through every paper. Right. So like I talked to them about us creating a space where kids can go in there and then we can design it to where they just type their hook, their body, like their main ideas, like whatever part of that paragraph, or just type the whole thing. And then as they're typing, we can create the space to give them quick feedback instantly through each part of it. And then in the back end, like you said, and we haven't really talked about this a bunch, but the back end, the teacher can see everything that student types. The teacher can see everything that the space is telling them to make sure that it is correct and, you know, what it needs to be. But then now the teacher can go back and say, hey, listen, Billy or Johnny or Sally, whatever those, you know, those normal student names we use, I saw that you were struggling with this part of it. Let's talk about your paper and how we can make it better. So it's just not the AI giving them the feedback. Now you're really pulling in that teacher process and that relationship and the community and all these great things that we've talked about into one setting. I think it's incredible.
That is I think that writing example is the, and you could apply this to any other subject, any other class, any other grade. That writing example of the teacher has taught students how to write. They've gone through the writing process. The students are all off writing their papers, all of the things. You think about without an AI space, the teachers are having to grade each individual one at different times, at different paces. It's a nightmare, right? But they're skilled. They'll do it. With an AI space, the students are now submitting their own paper or their own paragraphs to get feedback. The student gets the feedback immediately, and the student learns how to take the feedback and edit their own paper right away. Like, I don't really, teaching my fifth graders how to look at a paper I handed back to them and edit it, I don't know if we ever mastered that. Like, they would get my little edits back and be like, okay, whatever. You know what I mean? So it's like back to that conversation of putting the student in the driver's seat of their learning is so huge. I don't think we're like really having that conversation with AI. Like, the kids edit their own paper. They ask, what does that mean? They respond, and then they turn in a really great final essay for the teacher. And then the teacher sees all of the edits that they're doing in the back end. And there's this constant loop of feedback and support that the student is fully involved in as well. I love that example. I think that's so, so effective. And I think you could apply that to so many different class scenarios, you know?
Yeah, because it's no more like, hey, let me get feedback in a week.
Yeah.
And I think even like for me as an adult, like if you're going to evaluate a lesson that I taught and then I'll get feedback for a week, then I'm going to forget the moment. You know, I'll forget how I felt when I said it.
What did I do yesterday? I don't even know.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
you know,
or even like some of the best feedback I've ever gotten in a lesson. You ever heard of Jill Jackson?
I haven't.
She was owned this company. And so they come into our district and they would help us kind of co-teach, right? So I co-taught with a math teacher and all these like strategies, just great things. But she sent one of our cohorts into this classroom, and me and this other teacher, we were teaching together. We're teaching all these kids. And instead of waiting to the end to give me feedback, it was the most awkward thing at first. But she'd walk straight up to me in the middle of class. And she like, listen, Josh, I'm going to need you to say that again, but I need you to do it this way. And I was like, what? Like, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard of. But okay. And I would do it again, and it felt better. And every time she would come back to my classroom, it was that quick and instant feedback that said, hey, listen, I could have done this better. I could have said this fact differently or explained the process differently. And when she called it out in front of the kids, like, and they didn't, like, they never complained, never gave me a hard time. But when you get called out like that,
yeah. Have a hard time. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when I had that quick and easy feedback, man, it impacted. And me and that teacher that year in eighth grade math, after that process, man, we rocked and rolled. Our kids made some good gains. Like, it was just an incredible year because of that experience and having quick feedback.
That is so cool. I think it ties back again to how we can improve ourselves. You know what I mean? Like, we are so resistant to like getting that feedback and to get like, I like you telling that story made me sweat. Like, I could not, that makes me panic thinking about, did you ever have to go through coaching cycles where you've had to film, like you had to record yourself and then go?
I did a couple times, but like with the spell that I was in when I taught special education, I didn't have to do that a ton. The most nerve wracking thing is when I went through this process with this lady, that I would have the central office staff and some other teachers come in, and there's about 15 of them that would come watch us teach, right? That's nerve wracking. I can deal with that. But the most nerve wracking about the whole thing is my wife, what worked at the central office in special education, and she would walk in and watch me teach. You want to talk about nerve wracking? Because then it's like, no, we're just not getting feedback now. We're getting home, and now she's going to tell me how much of a goober I sounded. And so that's nerve-wracking more than videoing myself.
So I could, like, I don't know. I'd be like, you cannot, my husband, you cannot see my teacher anything. Like, you cannot. That'd be too much. Yeah. Yeah, my coaches, they would have us film ourselves and record ourselves, and it was so hard to just reflect. But see, that's what's so crazy is we are asking our kids to reflect on themselves and their work and their stuff all the time. And we can barely do it ourselves. But I think that's another thing, like the power of providing them with a AI environment to do so with my support is such a cool thing. I did want to say too, there's another new thing that launched last week. If you're like listening,
I'm excited because I don't think I've heard this one yet.
I mean, it's not like this big shiny thing, but I actually think it's so cool. So if you're listening to this and being like, okay, I want to make a space. We number one have like a library, like we have a full Discover library of all these spaces. So you don't have to
Interrupt you, but I get an email every time you or Maureen, right?
Maureen makes spaces a lot.
Because like early on back to space camp, you were like, you can follow these profiles and get it. So every time you and her make one, I get an email about it and I see it. It's awesome.
Lord, you probably get so much spam. When the sixth graders were here, they designed their own spaces. So I sat with them and made, so all of the emails that you got on Thursday were spaces made by sixth graders. You could probably tell it was like learn soccer with Bad Bunny. Anyway, but you might be thinking like I want to make a space, but that seems like a lot of work. So over the last year, we've done a lot of testing, a lot of beta testing, user testing, like so much. And we have launched the new space creator where you open it up and there is just a box that says, who is this for? What grade level? And you type in what you want. So I would like a main idea Minecraft adventure where they are reviewing how to find the main idea in three details. And you just brain dump into the box and then School AI will make the space for you.
Oh, I love that.
Very quickly. And as a very seasoned space creator. Like, I have been making spaces since day one. I have been using it religiously and it works so well. And 9 times out of 10, I do not have to edit a thing. I think it's perfect. It adds power-ups, so it can add a document generator. It will add an image generator. It will add a calculator. So lots of really cool things that I'll add in, but that try that new space creation flow, and it is so easy, and you can get your kids on a space in minutes using that. So it's really cool. And you as a super user, I want to hear what you think, because you've been using it.
I'm a little embarrassed that I missed that. I think that's awesome. Because a lot of times, like, if we're going to be totally honest with each other and all the people listening to this, a lot of times when I've created spaces, I will go to whatever AI generator that I want. And hey, listen, I'm using School AI. I'm creating a space. This is what I want it to do. And I let it kind of walk me through the directions, and I just copy and paste. Mm-hmm. But again, like, I'm going from one tool to another tool, and to have that inside of one and to have that high success rate, man, I think as soon as we get off the call today, this is what we're doing.
I know. And in the Space Creator 2, you might see at the bottom, it'll say brainstorm with Space Designer. So if you're feeling like, I don't even know what I want, you know what I mean? I don't even know what kind of activity I want. You can go to Space Designer and have a conversation back and forth. Be like, listen, I've got fifth graders. We're learning about the Revolutionary War. I want to do something fun. And it will give you some really fun ideas. And then a button will pop up to say, make it into a space. And it will do it. So a really cool update. Just like I think at the very beginning of this, we were talking about how AI platforms for K-12 need to be at the same time, personalized, but quick. You know what I mean? Like, I need to be, the teachers need to be in the driver's seat, but you need to get me there so fast. And I think that is where we landed with this.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Man, we've talked about so many good things today.
I know. So many gems. I feel like I'm very excited to get some little bits and gems out of this one.
I think we're really going to have to do a part two, Casey.
I agree. I'd like to hear what anyone else would like us to dive back into, because I had a couple hot takes. We had a couple of whatever, so we could dive into any of it.
I know. And most of it's been really genuine, like, organic conversations, not just about the platform, but just about teaching, all the things. And we've not even hit, I think we've hit just the surface of what School AI. We've talked about tools, we talked about space creating and what they really can do, but we've missed so many great options that the platform has. And I know we've, you know, not, I don't really look at time, but every once in a while I do, and we're sitting over at 65, 70 minutes we've been talking, and it doesn't feel that way. And I feel like that's podcasting for me, is that right there. Like, you have these conversations and you look at your phone, you look at your clock, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's like an hour. Like, I'm late for dinner. I'm late for this. Like, and it's just great conversations to have. So I really appreciate you having these great conversations today.
Do anything for you, Josh. As my one of my original space camp counselors, I will be wherever you need me to be.
Love it. Listen, we'll have to do a part two for sure then.
Please.
Now, listen, I know we've been talking for a while, and then we'll do a part two, but tell us kind of, I forgot one thing. We've got to do one more thing part of the show. So part of the show, Casey, is I have this tech flush tip of the day.
Ooh.
Okay. So this tip can be School AI related.
Okay.
It can be ed tech related. It can be AI related. And it doesn't have to be either. So what is a big tip that you would share with educators listening today?
Okay. And educators listening for technology in their classroom. Okay. I'm struggling to come up with kind of one.
That's okay, because I'll give you a minute to think, because this is my favorite part of the show. This is something that I don't necessarily talk to people about. And when we scheduled this meeting, it wasn't on the notes I shared, because I want this to be something that's on the spot. It's just something that, this is what I always tell people, or this is something that's new for me. I just want it to be very organic.
I think for me, And I think maybe this is just because of where I'm at, like, personally and professionally and, like, talking to my teacher friends. But if you don't let technology in a lesson be something you put in there because you have to, if you are feeling burnt out, bored, struggling, tired, there are so many technology tools and resources that can kind of bring the spark back. And I think those are some of my favorite moments of my teaching career, is when I was so done and so not excited to go back to work on Monday, but I found a lesson or a tool or a fun game or an interactive thing, a QR code activity that made me excited to go teach again on Monday. Do that, find that. And I think that to me is the power of EdTech, is getting you excited again and to help you want to keep going. And so just keep going. And that's kind of my tech tip for today.
I love that. It's just, you know, it's again, like you said, finding something new, finding something that sparks your interest you've never tried before, and just do it and see. I think those things get you excited. I think even like when I started this podcast, or I do some things with kids in classes, like I've never taught this before. Like we're doing some 3D modeling, right? 3D printing. Like I like 3D printing, doing all those things, but I've never really taught it. And it like was nervous for me, and the teachers haven't done it, but it's new. And it really got me excited to want to go back in their classroom and continue to do things. And it's just, it's again, finding that spark when you're tired, finding that spark when you don't want to do it, to find something that gives you that joy again. I love that.
I was going to say, teaching is such a joy. It like truly teaching kids was the truest, and I'm not just saying it, the biggest honor of my life. And so if I can help and continue to help teachers find joy and be able to feel like they're happy with their kids, because happy teachers make happy kids. So,
yeah. Love it. That was awesome. Thanks, Casey. Now, listen, as we start wrapping up, kind of tell us how we can follow you, whether we want to follow you on all the spaces you're creating or the social media stuff. Let us know how we can get in touch with you all the time.
Yeah. So I actually have an Instagram. It's Teacher KCC. Teacher KCC. So just Teacher KACYC on Instagram. You can email me at just KC@schoolai.com. I love to help and collaborate. You can follow all of the School AI platforms. There's a ton of good stuff there all the time. But yeah, I think those are the places that I would follow. And then get on the School AI newsletter. Like we send spaces every week. And then if you do want to go follow my profile on School AI, you will be getting incessant emails of the spaces that I make. But I think there's a lot of good ones in there. There's a lot of gems. So yeah, there you can just find me on all. I'm everywhere. You can see me everywhere. So
awesome. I love it. And even like, I know you can become like your certifications, you can do all that. And you have that through, what is the program you guys run that through?
So we have a community page. So if you're logged into School AI, it's called our community page. It is run through a program called Circle, but it just says School AI at the top, and it has tons of courses, tons of resources. We also have a champions program that you can join. So a ton, like if you are wanting to dive in, there are 9,000 different ways. That's my challenge, just to find one thing and try it and let us know what you think.
Yeah, it's just a great place to connect with people, great place to go through the resources, to find new trainings, to stay up to date on all things School AI. So
yeah.
Awesome. Well, cool. Awesome. Listen, Casey, I appreciate you coming on here. I'm looking forward to part two. Just an incredible conversation today.
Thank you. I can't wait.
Yeah. Awesome. Now, listen, remember, you can follow me on all the social medias, the Twitter, the the Josh_Morris65. The Tech Flush is on Twitter. You got the Instagram. We're starting to put out some videos. This is going to be on YouTube, Casey. So be excited about that. It's something.
I'll be a star.
Yes, you're going to break the internet with all the stardom. But it's been excited for me to push some things out there. So if you're listening, just the audio, go check out. If you want to see what our faces look like, go check that out. That most people are probably scared when they see mine. But listen, you check those out. See what's going on there. Maybe you could follow on all the big, you know, Spotify, Apple, all those kind of things. And also make sure you check out the website. Remember, that's bit.ly/techflush. On side of there, you'll see all the show notes, all the things for the show. But then I also have a link to just another site that I create. That's just honestly a dump of any tip, tool, trick, anything that I find, and I try to organize the best I can. So make sure you guys follow those. And so for episode 70, what did we say? 76 today. 76. Say that in the beginning, and then I'm like, oh my gosh, I've forgotten it. But episode 76, Casey, again, I know I've said this several times, but I do appreciate you being on the show. It was just a great conversation, and I'm looking forward to, again, I've said this four times because I don't want you to forget it, Casey. We're doing a part two.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool. Well, until next time, guys, I hope you have a good one, and we will talk to you later. Bye.